Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. Now, while I was in one of the churches in Naples doing a series of evening meetings, I talked about God's will for your life in three parts. I'm going to focus mainly on the third part this morning, because you should know the first two parts pretty well. But I'll just go over them so that you get the whole picture. The first talk was all about reward. God's will for your life is that you have a great reward. That's what He really wants for you. And the scriptures are very clear about that. Jesus says each man is going to be rewarded according to what he has done. And He talks about the greatest and the least in the kingdom of heaven. So we know that on the day of judgment, we won't have to be concerned about salvation, because that's God's gift to us. So we belong to the kingdom of heaven because of His mercy and grace. But He makes it clear that the eternal reward we will have in heaven will be the result of what we have done. A gift, salvation is a gift, you cannot earn. But a reward is something that is earned. A reward is something that you get for what you have done. So we are given salvation and we are promised reward. Now, because our reward is eternal, we want the greatest possible reward. There's nothing selfish in that, because actually the way to get a great reward is to deny yourself and to live for God and therefore to live for others. And Jesus taught quite a lot about reward, especially in his parables. In the parable of the talents, for example, we know that the one who was given five made five more. And when he gave account to the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Now, come and share your master's happiness. You can take that as a promise for the present and for the future, for this side of death and beyond death. There's this reward. You prove faithful, and God is pleased. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to be, good and faithful servants. The one with two made two more, and he got the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. By what they did, the servants were proving their faithfulness. And so God rewarded faithfulness. But faithfulness is one aspect of that word that you all love so much, which is obedience. So you could say that God rewards obedience. Whenever we obey the Lord, there is always some reward, whether it's in the immediate or whether it's in the future. There is a reward. For disobedience, there's no reward. When we disobey the Lord, we miss the reward that would have been ours if we had been obedient. So we learn, and often the hard way, that disobedience doesn't pay, because it only leads to tension in our relationship with God, and often tension in our relationship with other people, whereas obedience gives us peace with God, joy in his presence, and the reward that he has for that obedience. Of course, the guy who did nothing with his gift does not get a good press because he was disobedient. You wicked, lazy servant. That's not the kind of judgment you want on that great day when you come before the Lord, is it? You know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Why? Well, he has proved faithful. He has proved obedient. So he is worthy of more trust. You've heard me say often, you know, God raises people up and he pulls them down. He raises up the humble. You can't raise yourself up in ministry. If you do, it will come to nothing after a while. There are people who try to do that, but they're never successful. And we all have to start at the level of servants, doing whatever God puts in front of us to do. And in that way, we prove our faithfulness to him by being obedient to him. The immediate reward is that he then raises us up to a higher level of responsibility. If you like, he increases the anointing on our life. He increases the effectiveness of what we do. So there should be a kind of graph that just continually goes up and up and up and up, if you were to sort of chart our life in that way, where we're going higher and higher and higher. In effect, sometimes we plateau, sometimes we disobey the Lord and lose ground, and then we have to pick it up again. But God, in his wisdom, knows where we will end up when he calls us. And there are so many promises in Scripture that he watches over us to ensure that his purposes are fulfilled. And of course, he knows not only the end from the beginning, but he knows the whole course of things in between. And he knows that he will bring us through to the fulfillment of what he has purposed. And if along the way we need pruning, he will prune us so that then we can go higher and be more fruitful. Are we getting this? If we look at the parable of the 10 miners, which is similar but different, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then returned. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 miners. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. So 10 of them are all given the same amount. Now the first one, when he was called to account, came and said, "Sir, your miner has earned 10 more. Now, interesting the way he puts it. He doesn't say, "I have made more." He says, "Your miner, your 10 has made more. All I've done is put your gift to work." And you see, that's the point. God has gifted us, and he wants us to put those gifts to work. God has gifted us by the Spirit. He's gifted us by putting his kingdom within us. So he knows that as we allow the Spirit to work through us, so the Spirit will produce more. And there's a sense in which God, I don't think, is ever satisfied. You know, sometimes people say, you never seem to be satisfied with this. Well, I'm never satisfied with myself, right, because I always know that God can do more. It doesn't matter what you see him doing, he can do more. And I know that the more yielded I am to him, the more obedient I am to him, the more he will do. It's as simple as that. It's a very, very simple principle. Because if he is the one who produces the results, then all we've got to do is to obey him and he will produce the results. And that's really what this guy is saying in Luke 19. So the Lord says, well done, my good servant. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? All the guy has done is just let the gift that had been given him by his master work. He just put those gifts to work, and he ends up being put in charge of 10 cities. Now, that's an extraordinary advance on where he began. Begins just as one of 10 servants and ends up in charge of 10 cities. Now, that's a transformation that only God is going to bring about. Then the next one came. Your miner has earned 5 more. So he started with 10, now he's got 15. So the master said, will you take charge of 5 cities? Now, what do you see from both these parables? Well, the reward matches the achievement. The guy who made 10 was put in charge of 10 cities. The guy who made 5 was put in charge of 5 cities. So it does depend upon how we put to work the anointing that we have, right, as to, right, how God can not just reward us, but how God can use us further for his glory. But it's not a bad result to be put in charge of 5 cities, whatever that might mean. But clearly, Jesus is really commending these people. Then another servant came, sir, here is your miner. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. The master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I would have collected it with interest? What's all this hard man stuff? Well, Jesus is saying, you know that I am one to be feared. Not in the wrong way, but in the right way. If we live in the fear of the Lord, we are going to do with his gifts what he wants us to do with his gifts. Are we getting this? So he doesn't get a very good commendation either. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? You see, because if you look at that in the natural, you say, well, is this just that the one who has more and more and more will be given? But yes, that's God's way. You prove faithful and he gives you more. You prove faithful and he gives you more and more and more and more. Rebellion is someone trying to raise themselves up above those whom God has raised up. That was precisely what Satan did in heaven. He wanted to be as God. There was the beginning of rebellion. He wanted to raise himself up to be God's equal or even more. And that's the pride in man, when he wants to raise himself up, when he wants to assume a position or authority that he doesn't have. But God, you see, he says that he will always reward the faithful. He will reward the obedient. He will put them in charge of 10, of 5 cities, or whatever. There's always advancement in the purposes of God for obedience, which is why we love that word. Amen? Yes. Now, the next part of this will of God for us, you see, is linked with reward. God's purpose for us is that we should all have a great reward. But the great reward comes for faithfulness and obedience to his will. We could also say that God's will for our lives is fruitfulness. Why does he put his spirit within us? Why has he given us the kingdom? Why are we anointed by God? In order to bear fruit. Why are we branches in the true vine? In order to bear fruit. But it's fruit that will last. It's fruit with an eternal significance. It's not what we want to do for God, because the only eternal fruit, the only fruit of any consequence, is that which the Spirit of God does in us and through us. So you see, it's the same message. Because Jesus says, the only way to stay in the vine is through obedience. You will remain in my love if you obey my commandments, just as I remain in my Father's love by obeying his commands. Jesus lived in that submission to the will of his Father at all times, didn't he? I speak no words of my own, only the words my Father gives me to speak. I can do nothing of myself. I do only the things I see my Father doing. There's the submission. There's the obedience. There's the faithfulness to the Father. So what was the outcome of that? Well, the fruitfulness that you see in the ministry of Jesus, ultimately the salvation of all mankind. Or making salvation possible for all mankind. So, even Jesus had to live by these same principles of obedience, of faithfulness, of submission to the will of his Father in order that he could bear fruit. And so he says to the disciples that you are going to have to live by the same principles. I think we've knocked on this the head by now, haven't we? This idea that God loves everybody. God has done the work of love for everybody on the cross. But his purpose is that we as the body of Christ are reaching out into the world to draw people into the love of God. We are reaching out with the love to draw people into the love. And Jesus is saying to these disciples, God has placed them in his love. Now stay there. Stay in his love. And remember, Jesus said, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. If Jesus had not been obedient to the Father, he would not have remained in the Father's love. And he's saying this same thing to the disciples. Now, it doesn't mean that God kicks us out if we're disobedient or we get something wrong or anything like that. But he is saying to his disciples, the way to live in my love and to remain in that love continuously is by obedience to my commands, and especially this command of love. Well, now that's just a quick survey of what God's been saying to us in these last weeks or so. Now, let's just move on and to new ground. Turn to the first letter of John, chapter 4. Because we're going to talk a little bit more about this love. We know it's not emotion. We know it's not based upon emotion. But the love of God is love in action, agape love. Now we read from verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Now let's just pause there for a moment because you see, if God is love, and someone is not living in him, he is outside of that love. And this is the whole point. This is why he sent his son. He wanted to draw mankind into that love. And how do we get drawn into that love? By repentance and faith, by turning our lives over to God and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Love lives in him and he lives in love. But you see, it's conditional on that acknowledging or believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he says, and we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Talking about those, of course, who are living in God. We know and rely upon this love. People in the world who don't know the Lord can't know that love and they can't depend upon that love. But we can. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Now remember, this is not emotional love. It's not sexual love. It's the love of God himself which is expressed in giving. In doing, in action. Whether you feel anything or not, you can express the love of God by what you do. So in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, if we've got confidence on the day of judgment, it's because we're not only confident of our salvation, but we're confident of a great reward. We know salvation is the gift, reward is the result of what we have done. Every man will be rewarded according to what he has done. So our confidence on the day of judgment is we know that we have been faithful. Oh, we may not have been perfectly faithful, but we know that we have sought to obey God, to do his will, to fulfill his purpose for our lives, so we can have confidence that there's going to be a great reward. I'm confident of a great reward. Amen. Because I believe the word of God.
That's it.
And I've made mistakes in my life, but, and you know, if I look back, I say, well, perhaps I could have, or God could have accomplished far more through my life than he has. But I know what he has done, and I give him all the glory for that. And the strange thing is this, it's all what he has done, yet I get the reward.
Right.
And I get the reward simply because I've let him do what he's done. I've simply cooperated with him through obedience, through submission to his will, because I've wanted his will for my life. And the only thing that matters to me now is that during the rest of my life, God's purpose is fulfilled, it's completed. What he called me to do many, many years ago when I first became a Christian, 46 years ago when I was ordained, what he wanted of me then, I want to see fulfilled and accomplished completely. So I've got another 15, 16 years to go where he's going to continue to use me. That's what I believe. So whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. Now, this is what we're going to focus on for a few minutes. In this world, we are like him. You see, you can look at a scripture like that, and you can look at yourself, and you can think, dear God, there are so many ways in which I am not like Jesus. In my thought life, in the way I speak, in my attitudes, in my relationships, in what I do, I can't match Jesus. And you look at a scripture like that, and therefore you can feel a sense of failure. If only I really was like him. But you see, this is the kind of mistake that many Christians make. They look at what they think the scripture says rather than what it actually says. What is John saying? In this world, we are like him. Not we should be like him, we are like him. In this world, you are like Jesus. Not you should be, you are. You already are like Jesus. Now, what's he saying? Well, Jesus was the man of the Spirit. Jesus was full of the Spirit. He received the Spirit without measure. Well, you're like that.
Amen.
God didn't eke out a little bit of blessing with you. He baptized you. He drenched you. He infused you. He filled you through and through with his Spirit. You're just like Jesus. You have actually the risen, glorified Spirit of the living Christ in you. You are just like Jesus. God has already poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit, so you're just like Jesus. You are like Jesus in this world. You have the same life, the same Spirit, the same power. You have his authority. You have the same love in you. You are like Jesus. So you see, this is the problem. So many times Christians look at Scripture and say, if only that was true of me, instead of believing it is true. Because when you believe it is true, then you can function in the truth. You can function in the good of the truth. And instead of thinking, oh, I need to be more like Jesus, saying, thank you, Lord, I am like he is in the world. I have his life, I have his love, I have his power. I have the fullness of life that he came to give me. I lack nothing. Your word declares, I have been enriched in every way. You have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I lack no good thing. Hallelujah. So, I am and you are like him in the world. So, potentially, we can bear the same fruit as Jesus. Fruit that will last. What does he say? Anyone who has faith in me will do the same things as I have done. Why? Because we are like he is in the world. So if our faith is in him, we can do the same things that he has done. Are you there? He actually says you can do even greater things still. Why? Because it's the glorified, ascended, victorious Spirit of the living Christ that is in you. Remember, Jesus couldn't pray for people to be filled with the Spirit because he was not yet glorified. But we can now. And that's an even greater thing than Jesus was able to do during the days of his humanity. It's not greater things in amount, in the amount that we do. We could never match Jesus in that. But in what we are able to do because the Spirit of God has been poured out on all flesh.
Come on.
So praise God, we've got everything going for us. And this is the amazing thing, you see. We are like he is in the world. We can see him, therefore, working through our lives, using us in just the same way that he used Jesus.
Right.
And all the glory is his because he is the one who does it through us, and yet he gives us the reward. The Father gets the glory. I mean, everybody benefits.
That's right.
You see, the will of Jesus is accomplished. Other people are going to be on the receiving end of the love. The Father is glorified, and you get a reward. I mean, it's positive all around, isn't it? How much better than disobedience, which produces no reward, no glory for the Father, no blessing for other people, and only problems for yourself. So the word we love is
obedience.
And obedience always brings its reward. Brings its fruitfulness. Brings glory for the Father. Now, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, is giving them this new command of love. And he makes this statement, "You are to love one another as I have loved you." Well, you see, if we are as he is in the world, and we have received his love, and the same love that was in him is in us, then we can love one another with his love. We can do for one another as he does for us. So he accepts us, we accept one another. He forgives us, we forgive one another. He doesn't judge us, so we don't judge one another. He blesses us, so we bless one another. He serves us, so we serve one another. Everybody in this morning?
Yes.
Something's happening between the ears, is it? Hallelujah. So as we process this, what we come up with is a different way of life. What results is the life of the kingdom of God here on earth. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let me give you a secret of ministry. Before I was ordained, an elderly layman, a wonderful man of God, who'd had quite an impact on my life in my teen years, he said to me what I've always considered to be a nugget of gold. It's the principle that I've seen outworked throughout my life. And he simply said this to me, "Colin, never minister to the people. Always minister to the Lord, and then he will minister to the people." That is gold. You see, the problem for so many leaders, pastors, leaders, is that they want to minister to the people. So their focus is on the people. And once you do that, then the temptation is to please the people. Or else your whole ministry gets diverted away from the purposes of God and focuses on the needs of the people, rather than on the purpose of God. So, if you want to minister to the people, you can actually miss what God is wanting to do in the situation. And if someone begins this process of having his focus on the people that he's ministering to, then it's not long before his ministry becomes more important than God. He doesn't realize that because it's a very subtle process that goes on. but he's actually worshipping his ministry more than he is worshipping God. His focus is more on his ministry. And people can become very self-conscious about their ministry. My ministry. And that spells trouble with a capital T. Because, you see, it has to be the ministry of God in us and through us if it's going to be effective. So we talk about our ministries, but in fact, God simply wants us to be channels of his grace, of his life, of his love, of his power, of his truth, of all that he is. I used to, when I was a young pastor, always found simple ways to express these things. I used to say to people, are you a bucket or a hose pipe? Because you see, most people see themselves as a bucket. God has deposited a certain amount in them, and from that bucket, they're sort of dishing out a little bit of blessing and anointing and fruit here and there. But God wants us to be hose pipes. You know, one end is attached to heaven, and you're just spraying Jesus around everywhere you go. And it's just a continuous thing. You're just the hose pipe. You're just the one who's in contact with heaven, and God is ministering through you. See, so every person is really ministering out of his relationship with God. That's the point. And when you get your focus on people, when you get your focus on your own ministry, you stop focusing on your relationship with God as being the most important thing in your life. But if your relationship with him is paramount, is first, is the most important thing, then God will always work through you. Doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, what situation you're in, the word of God, the life of God, the power of God, the love of God will flow through you simply because he is number one. That what he is doing is new and fresh in you every day. That you're never seeking to minister today out of yesterday's blessing or yesterday's anointing. It's new, it's fresh, it's alive, it's alert. I mean, prayer just has to be the most exciting activity of your life. I mean, when I get up in the morning or in the middle of the night, as it usually is, and I start listening to the Lord and praying for him. I mean, this is the most exciting thing that can happen to a person. That God, the creator of the universe, is in that room with you, speaking to you through his word, by his spirit, unfolding things to you, explaining things to you, giving you revelation. I mean, what could be more exciting than that? And you see, it's so exciting if it's like that every day. I mean, if it is exciting, you don't want to miss a day. You say, oh, well, I don't want to miss this exciting time with God where he is going to speak, he is going to reveal more of himself. And this is what Jesus said, isn't it? That he would continue to reveal himself to us. It's a continuous process. And you see, the more God reveals himself to you, the more you can reveal him to others. It's the hose pipe principle. Yeah. You get stuff from God, and I guarantee God shows you something new, and I guarantee he will cause people to come across your path within hours who need exactly what it is God has just given you. Because he's always working according to his plan and purpose. And God never does anything by accident. It's always so that. Another aspect of his will and purpose can be fulfilled. So we're a blessed people because God has given us this access. So we are like him in the world because we have direct access to the Father. We are like he is in the world because we can hear from God, we can move with God, we can obey God, we can see God work. We can see God move through us. We can glorify the Father by what He does. It's exciting. So much better than worrying about yourself. I mean, what problems could you have, really, compared with this tremendous privilege?
Come on.
See, I can remember when I was a young kid and first met with the Lord and He revealed His glory and all of that. I can remember the thing that hit me was this great privilege of serving the King of Kings. I mean, I was only a young kid. I didn't know anything, didn't understand anything, didn't have any Christians around me, no Christian family or anybody to teach me. But I just knew this tremendous privilege of being called to serve the Lord. That's the privilege we all share, isn't it? But we're serving Him in the power of the Spirit. We're serving Him because God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we can love with His love. We can love one another as He has loved us. We can reach out into the world where people don't know that love and draw them into that love. We can bear much fruit for the glory of the Father.
It's true.
See, don't think of what you can't do. Think of what you can do.
Right.
All things are possible to those who have faith.
Come on.
Nothing is impossible for the one who trusts in the Lord. And this is the great thing, you know, God will put you, many of you, in places where you wonder how on earth you got there. But what has in fact happened is you've proved faithful in a little way and God has put you into a situation that you would never have dared dream you could be in for yourself.
Right.
And you think, well, how on earth did I get here? I could never have put myself here. Well, the answer is God put you there. Why did He put you there? So that He could speak through you. So that He can work through you, so that you can be faithful in that situation, because actually He's got greater plans for you. But in His wisdom, when we start, He doesn't tell us about the greater plans, because He knows we've got to prove faithful in the little things first. But also, if He told us about the greater plans, we might get proud. And what He has to teach us is the greater things are for the humble. The greater things are for those who submit themselves to be obedient to the Lord. Amen? He raises up the humble, but He pulls down the proud. So praise God. It's very simple, really. You just remember that you're nothing and He's everything. Yeah. It's very simple, you know. When people are first Christians, you build them up to make them really feel good and accepted and loved, and then you teach them, actually, you're nothing, really. but they can take it then, because they realize it doesn't matter that they're nothing, because He's everything. And He is, you are in Him and He is in you, so who cares? You know, it's like knowing, you know, like Jesus taught Paul that my power is made perfect in your weakness. So your weakness doesn't matter. I mean, your weakness is your greatest asset, actually.
Yeah, praise God.
Apart from the Spirit of Christ in you, your weakness is your great, or rather knowing your weakness is your greatest asset, because then you will trust in Him.
Yeah.
Amen. So this is a great scripture. That in this world we are like him. So stop wishing you were and thank God that you are. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Holy One. Pura tapara zata baritu. Pura tapari zato pakarasito. Now thank the Lord that he has great plans for you. Great plans. But he's only going to reveal them step by step. As you walk in faithful obedience to him, so he will show you the next step. So he will raise you up to the next level. As you remain humble before him, so he will put you in charge of greater things and greater things and greater things. So thank the Lord that by his grace and his mercy, he is going to ensure that his plan and purpose for your life is fulfilled. Because you have a heart after his heart. Now thank him for a heart that longs to be after his heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. You have a heart and a longing for the purposes of God in your life. Pura tapara zatapari asituri sato pakalasito ba. Brota pari asituri sarato pakarasituri sandama. Brota pari asituri sarato pakarasito ba. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that he's forgiven all the failure of the past. It's as if it never happened. The past no longer exists. All that God sees is you now and where he's leading you and where he's taking you. So just praise him. He's delivered you from the past. And he's leading you into a glorious future. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now thank him that you're connected to him. I mean, you are one with him. That's what the scripture says. But thank him that in prayer you're connected with him. Your hose pipe is connected to heaven. And Christ in you pours his life out of you like rivers of living water. That you don't just possess his spirit. Thank God for the flow of the spirit through your life. And the flow of his spirit out of your life to touch the lives of other people, to draw them into his love, to draw them into the truth, to draw them into the kingdom.
Purata paria zituri pokara santo. Thank him that he's poured that love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What a mighty God. Now thank him that he's always faithful to you. Every word he's spoken, every promise he's given, he will never default on anything that he's said. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. He will never withdraw his word. Once he's spoken it, he has decreed it. Once he's declared it, it will happen. It will take place. So thank him for what he's doing now. Thank him for the promises he's given of what he's going to do. But thank him that in his faithfulness, he will do it. He will do it all. It's not what you will do, it's what he will do in you. Hallelujah. Now thank him that you are as Jesus is in the world. So you are not doing your will, you're doing his will. You're not concerned to speak your words, but his words. Not do your thing, but what you see the Father doing. Come on, thank him for that. Really thank him. Now thank him that every day of your life you're ministering to him. Your focus is on ministering to Jesus. And if you want to minister to Jesus every day, he will minister through you to those around you, to those you go and witness to, wherever you are, whatever situation. Jesus will flow through your life because you're ministering to him. So thank him for your daily time with the Lord. I don't mean the 8 o'clock here, the time you spend alone with the Lord. Thank him for that. Thank him that he's always there for you. Thank him he's always waiting for you. Thank him that he's always wanting to speak to you. Thank him that he's always wanting to reveal more of himself to you. Hallelujah. Thank him that he's not a God who is silent, but he's the Lord of revelation. He reveals himself. Hallelujah. Continues to reveal himself. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Sukurisata bakarasita disaku bakarasita. Oh, wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty precious Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to prove faithful. In little things, I want to prove faithful in what you put before me today. I want to be obedient to you, Lord. Not just generally, but specifically, even in the small things, I want to obey you. I don't want any little foxes to ruin the vine. Thank you that you're the God of detail, not just the God of generalities. And we praise you, Lord, that you're with us continually. You're living in us continually so that we can get it right, even in the small things, even in the details. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We magnify your wonderful name. Glory, glory, glory be to your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.